Good evening.
Good evening.
The weather is bad outside. Let's hope we can finish this meeting tonight and get out of here.
Amen.
Okay. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Patty Cordish Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Kelly.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carter.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Jane Whitmore.
Present.
Madam Mayor, the attendance of council constitutes a quorum. Please allow me to continue.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Council, you have anything you want to bring before the full council tonight? Councilwoman?
Thank you very much, Mayor. I just want to say thank you to Mr. Stokes for beginning the process of removing the tree that's on Little Town Road. Cut it up, and he tells me that they're going to move it as soon as the weather lets. That's fantastic news. And I also want to say thank you to Ms. Adams in the Finance Department regarding some income issues for tax reimbursements to the residents. It's great that we work diligently to reimburse those residents who had overpayments for various reasons. So thank you so much for that. And thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Let me just make a comment as far as the overpayment of taxes. We had some homeowners whose taxes were paid through escrow, and they paid the taxes also. We have begun the process of reimbursing those homeowners. It was not the fault of the city of Fairburn. It was actually the fault of the homeowners who for years have been paying their taxes through escrow. And for some reason, they wrote the city of Fairburn a check. And we deposited those checks, and we're in the process of making those reimbursements. So I just want you to know that we work diligently every day to make sure that we handle the business for the city of Fairburn. With that being said,
just one, Mayor.
Councilman Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I'd just like to just thank staff as well as our Mayor Pro Tem. Back on the 31st of January, our steam vehicle was involved in a motor vehicle accident. It could have been a very serious accident. Received a phone call from John Childs and then from Ms. Payne, and actually reached out to our fire chief. Fire chief waited on me. We went out to the site and saw everything firsthand. Ms. Payne was there. And Mayor Pro Tem, along with our city administrator, met us at the youth center. I'm glad to report that as of this date, we do not have any of the kids that were injured within that MVA. And we just pray for their continued health.
Thank you so much. I have a couple of things that I would like to bring to council's attention tonight. We have two digital signs that's referencing the census 2020. Those signs are up. One is 85 North and one is 85 South. And so Bobby Fountain and Mark Schugert have been very instrumental in assisting the city in getting those signs up. We will have two more signs around the city because Fairburn is going to be working really hard to make sure that our citizens are counted here in the city. So with that being said, the 85 North and 85 South signs are between Fairburn and the cities of Palmetto. We're looking to have those other two signs up probably within the next week or so. We put a census 101 in the bills for this month, flyer. Another one will be in the bills for the month of February. We have something at City Hall, I think it's February the 17th. We are actually going to be looking at testing out the new voting machines, and we also will have people here from the Census Bureau. Is that correct, Ms. Beeks? Okay, thank you so much. Council, I just gave you an announcement from Advanced Disposal that I received on Thursday of last week. As per our agreement, they're asking for an annual consumer price index adjustment of 2.3%. That's going to be effective April the 1st of 2020. And this is only for commercial service, not residential. And before you, Council, you have some save the dates. Mayor and Council retreat, February 27th and 28th at Georgia Military College, third floor. We're hoping to begin some work on our charter. I have the clerks preparing, pulling some charters from some cities so that we can start trying to get our charters up to date to take them before the legislature next year. There is going to be an executive session tonight concerning real estate. I think we have three or four items tonight to discuss concerning real estate. Are there any more announcements before we begin the meeting? Okay, let's start with our presentation for tonight. Ms. Karen Larkin from BKS Partners, you all want to come up take the mic here and give us our update on United Healthcare.
I'm Karen Larkin with BKS Partners, and with me tonight are my colleagues Dan Nackers, and he's going to join me up here at the podium. And Jack Rem, I think some of you also know Jack.
Yes.
As you know, this is the time for the medical and dental and vision renewal. Unfortunately, like every year, costs keep going up, and just to kind of give you a highlight, I'm going to let Dan go through the specifics of what we have negotiated with United Healthcare and the renewal options. But just to put everything in perspective, and y'all should have received in your packet the presentation. In 2015, we went from Coventry to United Healthcare, so we have been with United Healthcare for 5 years now. United Healthcare has paid out the city has paid $6,433,000, and United Healthcare has paid out $6,590,000, which means United Healthcare has paid out more than what has come in premiums. Therefore, we are looking at another increase this year. However, we have been able to negotiate that increase down and are recommending a plan option that will mitigate that increase and also be less disruptive to your employees and their families as some of the other options that we're seeing in the marketplace. So with that, I would like Dan to go through the presentation and how we started and where we've got to with our recommendations.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. So I'm going to start here. If you want to jump to page one in the presentation, Karen covered the big part of this. When we first started the negotiations, or when we first got the renewal from United Healthcare, we were initially looking at an increase of a little over 23%. And as Karen mentioned, year over year, we're looking at kind of similar situations with how the city's claims are running. We have a lot of utilization. Your loss ratio, which is your paid premium versus paid claims, is every single year over year, running right at or just under 100%. So they're paying out almost just as much, if not more, in claims. And then, like Karen mentioned, over the 5-year period, they have paid out more claims than you all paid in premiums. So that's the first factor when we're talking about negotiations. And then the second thing is your large claims. And if you'll notice in here in the packet, for this current year, there are six large claimants over $75,000 paid in the past 12 months. Overall, those are making up almost half of your total claim spend for the year. So you all have paid out about $1.5 million, $1.56 million in claims. Those six made up $750,000 of that. So when we're talking about those large claims with these renewal negotiations, that part of the conversation comes into as far as what is the outlook look like for next year. And unfortunately, all of these claims are still open, active claims that they're expecting to continue into next year. So with that, the conversation steers towards how do we control those costs? And talking about cost shifting to, you know, some of the burden's gonna obviously fall on the city in paying higher premiums, but the employees are also gonna have to be better consumers of healthcare, you know, looking at going into urgent care versus the emergency room, or going to use a virtual visit instead of going into your doctor. Those kinds of things will save money. And without making plan changes, you're gonna continue to see the utilization go up every year along with these increases. So that said, with the fact that the city has been with UnitedHealthcare for as long as they have, they were willing to negotiate the renewal, assuming that we did not go to market. If you remember, we did go to market last year. We were in a similar situation and nobody was competitive. Most of the carriers actually declined to quote altogether last year because of the claims, and we had a couple that were coming in right where UnitedHealthcare is. So our expectations are it's gonna be the same thing if we go to market this year. So we can use that as leverage to get UnitedHealthcare to come off of that initial increase. They actually dropped the increase 5%. So you'll see on here, the increase we have listed is 18.4%. That's the non-market as-is offer if there were no changes made. And then from there, we obviously talked about different plan changes. We do have a recommended option in here that we think would benefit the city. It's gonna save you 10%, so you'll get that increase down to just over 8%. And in the next couple pages, we can get into the dollar value of those differences there. But you're talking about a pretty drastic change, and there's some obviously changes that are gonna, like I said, have to drive employees to make better decisions when they're deciding on their care, but there's also some benefits in the new plan, such as lower out-of-pocket exposure for employees and certain things like that. So if you skip to the next page, here on page two, this gets into your total cost. So you'll see in the white column here where it shows current, right now the city is paying just over $1.6 million in premiums. When you add in the health reimbursement arrangement, which pays for the entire employee deductible, that paid out about $106,000. So in total, the city has paid out just over $1.7 million. The original renewal was coming in at $1.975 million. That was at the 23.4%. So you're talking about an increase of $375,000 roughly. Was the initial increase. And by just the non-market negotiation, we were able to get $80,000 off of that, which is in that blue column, which is the negotiated as-is renewal. And then the final column there in green is the recommended option. And down below on that page, it has more information on what the recommended changes are to the plan. That's gonna drop it down to an increase of 8.2%, which the premium difference there is about $130,000. From the initial increase, which was an increase of $375,000. So a significant drop there. Then down towards the bottom, this outlines what the changes are between the current plan that you have right now and the plan that will be recommended for the city for the upcoming plan year. So the first column on first note on there, you'll notice reducing the out-of-pocket maximum, like I said, for the employee. Currently, worst case scenario for an employee, they're out-of-pocket as long as they stay in network is $6,000. On this recommended option is actually $5,000. Now the reason why there's big savings in there is you're increasing the employee coinsurance after the deductible from 0% to 20%. So right now the city's picking up 100% of the deductible, and then after that the plan's paying 100% unless you have a copay or a per occurrence deductible. So the plan's picking up almost everything that the city's not picking up, So this is going to add a little bit of that cost shifting there. So employees, after that deductible has been met that the city's paying for, the employees are going to have to pay 20% of those bills. So this is really only going to impact employees or dependents who are meeting their full deductible. Another change here is that your emergency room copay right now is $350. That's actually pretty low. A lot of carriers these days are bumping those up to $500, $600, $700. And the reason is because emergency room visits are very expensive. So this plan would actually move the emergency room visits from a copay to being subject to deductible and coinsurance, which in some ways are actually going to benefit the employees. If right now, if you had an emergency room visit and you hadn't met your deductible, you would pay $350. Under this plan, if you hadn't met your deductible, that emergency room visit would go towards your deductible, which is picked up by the health reimbursement arrangement. Another benefit here, you're going to be removing your inpatient per occurrence deductible at designated network hospitals. An example of a designated network hospital in this area is going to be Piedmont. I would say probably the majority, if not all the employees who are visiting a hospital are probably going to Piedmont. Yep. But UnitedHealthcare does have some hospitals that aren't considered designated network hospitals, to where if an employee wanted to go to one of those, they're still a network, and employees are going to have to pay a little bit more out of pocket to see to go to those hospitals. So for those, the per occurrence deductible is actually decreasing. Currently, it's $1,000 if you go to a network non-designated hospital. That's going to decrease to $500. And then the final button here is going to be on your out-of-network benefits. So the out-of-network benefits are going to be decreasing, which means higher deductibles, employee coinsurance is going to be higher, and the out-of-pocket is going to be higher. And that mostly is just to encourage employees to stay in network. You know, like I said, Piedmont is in network, so pretty much every hospital, doctor, I would say there's probably none, little to none, if anybody, that's actually going out of network on the plan right now. And then the following page here is just an outline, just a side-by-side. I covered everything here, but this should give you a little bit easier example to kind of look at and see where the differences are. Like I said, you essentially have a $0 deductible plan because the city is paying out the deductible. So the big change there is going to be the coinsurance for the employees.
Prescription drugs are staying the same.
Network would.
Visit copays are staying the same.
Right. Yeah. So your drug list is the same. Your network is the same that you have right now. From that perspective, there's no disruption for the employees.
Right.
If you could jump ahead to page 4 here. When you're talking about cost shifting, the next thing that you're thinking about are going to be employee deductions. So on the top here, you show what the current employee deductions are. And historically, the city has paid 90% of the employee cost and then 60% for dependents, which is very, very, very rich. We see a lot for employee contributions where it's in the 75 to 80% range, and dependents, you know, from 25% to 50%. So you're well above the curve there as in terms of how rich your contributions are. So as an alternative and not going over the top and making changes here, we recommended maybe getting off of a strategy of paying on a percent and moving towards a set amount. So you'll see on the recommended option for this proposed renewal, your employee cost is still going to be about the same. You're still looking at about 10%. So you're not cost shifting for employees, but it's where the dependents are where you're going to see some of that shifting. So, you know, spouses and dependent children are making up a lot of the claims that are going towards the plan. So one of the thoughts there is employees need to also make that decision if they have coverage available elsewhere. Right now, I would say it's a pretty easy decision for those individuals to put their dependents on the city's plan because it's going to be inexpensive and it's a really rich plan. So you do have to, you know, give something for the employees to kind of think about in terms of, you know, maybe it would benefit them to have their spouse or children on another plan to see if, you know, different ways that you can try and get the claims costs to come down. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Particularly about this page, why is it that the employee and spouse is more expensive than the employee and children?
Yeah, that is a great point. So the thought process behind there is that if you have somebody who has employee and child coverage, there's a likely chance that you're looking at a single parent there. So you're talking about somebody who may only have the one income, where your employee and spouse, it could still be one person working, but and a lot of times employee and spouses, they're both working, they both have coverage available. So you're trying to, you know, you want to kind of figure these numbers out and be able to make sure you're thinking about the situations that they might have, you know, personally, when you're making these decisions on what their contributions are going to be. Because it would seem unfair to charge somebody who's a single parent with their kids versus somebody who has a working spouse covered as well.
Plus, actuarially, spouses tend to always have the highest claims in all groups, even over the employee.
Well, I mean, talking about on the other side there, mm-hmm. like my wife and I are both retired, Social Security, fixed income. Mm-hmm. So when you're charging more to those people, then that's about like, because, I mean, you're not getting, I think we got a 1.6% raise this year. Mm-hmm. And that's not very much. But like I say, I saw that and I just wondered, because children are all the time, you know, got one sickness or a problem, medical problem.
Right, yeah. You know, typically you don't see as much utilization, and that's why the rates, I mean, if you look at the total monthly premium, the premium for an employee plus child, which can be one child or five children, is actually less than an employee plus spouse. And I think the thing with the children is, you know, people are more encouraged to go get preventive care for their children. Children are actually getting the care they need on a regular basis. You don't see as many of those large claims as you do with adults who maybe aren't going to all their preventive visits and wait until something happens to get care. So like Karen said, we do typically see that the utilization from adults is going to be a lot higher than what you're seeing for children.
Okay. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes. What is the emergency room utilization?
I don't have that right here in front of me. I can reach out. United Healthcare, when you're talking about getting claims, all the carriers are kind of different, but United Healthcare typically won't give us significant details, that level of detail, if you have under 200 employees. So we can reach out to see if they can provide us with that emergency room utilization, but it's probably relatively low, I would imagine.
And the reason I ask is because you made a point that impacted our rate.
Right.
So that really is you know, worth us knowing. If you can provide that information.
Yes, ma'am.
For me, that'd be great.
I don't know if it's impact your rate significantly. In the past, because the utilization in emergency rooms overall, with the book of business, all consumers, has gone down because we started educating employees and their families not to use the emergency room. Mm-hmm. But it's not the frequency as much as it is the severity, the cost. So when, you know, if you have just, even if your percentage of population that are going to the emergency room is low, it's just that the claims are high in that area. So that's why the plan designs that the insurance companies are coming up with are moving away from copays and moving it more into deductibles, really more than, you know, I'd have to go check, like Dan said, but that's probably the reason why, more so.
Okay, and you also listed as an alternative virtual healthcare. Could you explain what that is and its availability to us?
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and this is something that we've talked about during open enrollment every year. So under the United Healthcare plan that's available to the employees, and it's not going to cover everything. It's going to be specific visits, such as, you know, if somebody comes down with the flu or a cold or pink eye or something like that, something that's easily diagnosable. You can actually call and talk to the doctor over the phone, whether it's just talking to them or a face-to-face visit on your laptop or cell phone, and they can actually prescribe you medications. You pay a $10 copay. The cost to United Healthcare for those claims is a lot less than going into an office visit, and it saves employees time and money and having to go sit in a doctor's office with other sick people. So again, that's something that we talk about each year during open enrollment. Utilization, I think it's taken some time. Some people, I think once you start using it, people really start to like it, but it takes some time for people to get used to using it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Heath.
One last question here.
Yes.
I didn't know this until I actually had the need, but that our insurance does not cover ambulance service. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that I mean, I just had a heat stroke, but I'd like to have a heart attack when I got the bill. $2,082 for an ambulance ride.
Right.
So, yeah, ambulances are different, and we see this with anesthesiologists and other things. So ambulance services are covered under your plan.
Really?
The thing is that if the ambulance is not in network, which a lot of times nobody would, either you don't have a chance to check it or you wouldn't think that you would need to check that. If the ambulance is out of network, then they can balance bill you. And that's, I don't know the particular situation.
Grading. And I was passed out, so I had no control over it.
Right.
I just read an article this morning. Georgia, unfortunately, does not have protection for balance billing. If you go into an emergency, have an emergency situation, in that case, that's probably what it was. You go into the hospital, and the hospital's in network. The anesthesiologist may not be in network. The ambulance is probably not in network. And so it's a huge problem right now. The state of Florida, the insurance companies, and providers cannot balance bill you. But here in Georgia, there's not a law that says they cannot. It's being discussed at every legislative, you know, discussion and here in Atlanta at the Capitol and also with Congress in Washington. So well, I expect something's going to change eventually. But in the meantime, the best thing to do is to let Leanne work with you because sometimes we get with the ambulance companies and they'll negotiate with you.
But what happened is that they really didn't pay any attention to her. And I paid $802.50 out of my, I just put it on my charge card.
Right.
And then they sent me a bill for the remainder of it, Grady did, and continued doing so. And I finally told them, I said, the only thing I can do is pay $25 a month, you know. And so I talked with Leanne, and Leanne said to call that number, the advocates or something like that. I did that. And a letter I got from them was that they were unable to do anything for me. So like I say, you know, it's another $1,100 and something that I've got to pay. And you're saying that the insurance will cover it. But what company can we use to have it covered?
See, the unfortunate problem with this is that regardless of what insurance company you're with, you're going to run into the same issues. It's like I said, it's the same thing with anesthesiologists. You can go to the hospital, it's an in-network hospital, see an in-network doctor, and the anesthesiologist can be out of network, and there's no way for you to know in a lot of cases. And unfortunately, like Karen said, there's just no laws in Georgia that prevent that from happening.
Well, but what the thing, I was thinking that I heard Karen say that in network, and so I'm asking what ambulance service is in network?
I don't know offhand. We can check that out for you.
Would you please?
We need to know that.
Yeah. There are very few of them.
Let me ask Chief Robinson, do you know that answer, Chief? What ambulance services is in network? And Grady, let me, as a footnote, Grady courted us really, really hard to get the zone. And we were promised quite a bit. And we were in sticker shock. Because AMR was trying to keep the zone. And Grady really outbid them forward. So. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we're still going to be having meetings with Grady because AMR is still wanting the zone back. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just a funny note, my daughter was having an episode, I guess last year sometime, and I was at the house, and I kept screaming, Michael, call the ambulance. And so, you know, him being a doctor, he was like, oh, no, I'm going to put her in the car. We're going to drive her. So we put my daughter in the car. We went 100 miles an hour down to the hospital because he was thinking about the money.
Smart man.
I was angry because I wanted him to put her in an ambulance, but he would not. He threw her in that SUV, and we headed downtown. Okay. Does anyone have another question?
Yes. You stated that the savings with the proposed changes would be $130,000, but I'm noting in the document that it says $160,000. And so which is it?
To address that question, so the increase above current on that suggested option is about $130,000. But you're correct, the savings compared to the as-is renewal is $160,000.
Okay. And is there an opportunity rather than 20%, 10%?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be options available if you did want to do that. And we can look at other coinsurance options. You're going to be looking at, you know, an increase there.
Of course, right. But, 20% increase versus 10% increase.
Right.
If we must increase.
Right.
Right. So that is an option for consideration. And is it, would it be a 50% equivalent then? What would that cost increase be?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a rough estimate. I'd have to look at the numbers, but because that's such a big chunk of the difference, if you assume that would split it in half to where you'd be looking at a, 12, 13% increase, you're going to be, talking about probably another $80,000, roughly.
We hadn't looked at 10% co-insurance level. It didn't provide the premium savings. The savings really came with the 20%. 10% was a much smaller incremental savings than the 20% was. And in the marketplace, with other municipalities and other clients we have, 80% is generally the greatest co-insurance level that everybody picks. So United was willing to give us a lot more savings for that extra 10%. The first 10% was only a few percent, but then the next was with the bigger savings. So we did look at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Councilman Heath.
Oh, I'll go after you.
Ladies first.
Yep. Okay.
Councilwoman Davis.
I'm noticing in your presentation you said only about few people had the greatest amount of claims.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do as a city to be proactive in either education, training, to reduce that, or to share how to be better stewards of
right,
going
yeah,
to the
and
doctor?
Unfortunately, with the, we can't put all the details of the situation specifics
right.
in these
presentations. But these were critical. These were critical illnesses.
Right. The problem is that, these aren't, lifestyle-related claims
All right.
However, there are ideas that have floated around within the HR department and some challenges and wellness initiatives that they've started and they're working on.
Okay.
So that creates, increases morale.
Right.
And it also will help mitigate those lifestyle claims that would, help overall.
Great.
It won't help these large claims, but it'll help, other lifestyle type claims. Yes.
Okay.
So there we are doing a lot of wellness activities.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Councilman Heath?
Yes, ma'am. One last thing that flashed across my mind that I had thought about is the 20%, it says 0 to 20% deductible. increase in employee co-insurance after deductible. Is this going to be for the amount that is charged to the insurance company, or is it like I had to have a tube put down my nose into my lungs, and the bill was $9,763. They discounted it $6,300, the insurance company did. Mm-hmm. And the doctor told me he was paid $200 for doing the procedure.
Right.
So what...
So to answer that, when you have your bills, the way the coinsurance is going to work is there's going to be the charged amount that's charged to the insurance. There's going to be a discount as long as the employees go in network for the negotiated fee for whatever that service was.
Got it.
That coinsurance isn't going to kick in until after the discounts are taken off of that.
Got and the deductible is going to be paid for by the city. And there's a maximum. Right now, the out-of-pocket maximum is $6,000.
Okay.
So here's some examples on the back you can look at later, but the employee is only going to be responsible for inpatient, another $2,500.
Okay. All right.
Not the full amount of the bill.
Not the full amount.
Because there's a maximum.
Got it. Okay.
And then they would not have to pay anything for the rest of the year.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions? They will be back at the 7 o'clock hour for approval.
Mayor, did you want to address the dental and vision renewals as well?
Yes, please do.
Okay. As an FYI, last year, if you remember, we did make some changes to the medical plan last year. We increased the deductible a little bit to get some savings, but the health reimbursement arrangement picked all that up. Another way that we were able to get some savings was we moved the dental and vision that had been with Emeritus for several years over to United Healthcare. And when we did those changes, they included rate guarantees. So dental last year came with a 2-year rate guarantee and vision came with 3 years. So those are in the middle of a rate guarantee still. So there's no changes to those rates for the upcoming year. I just wanted to make sure that we pointed that out as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see you at the 7 o'clock hour. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next presentation this evening, Councilwoman Portis Jones had asked that we do an update on the green communities. I think Fairburn got that award in 2009, if I'm not mistaken. So Kelsey, how do you pronounce your last name?
Wade Haas.
Wade Haas, from the Atlanta Regional Commission. Okay, would you go ahead, please?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me here tonight. Fairburn was indeed one of our inaugural communities certified back in 2009. We do have a rolling recertification period, so every 4 years, the entire application has to be redone. It is a very heavy lift. I wasn't around in the program then, so I'm not sure where the cracks fell through, but we would be more than happy to have you guys back. You have a great basis in that old application for reapplying. This go around, and it's completely voluntary, everything in the program. We have it broken up into 10 different sustainability categories, so if you guys want to focus more on waste and recycling, if you'd rather focus on energy efficiency, if you'd rather focus on water efficiency, it's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure program, so you can really decide what matters to you guys in Fairburn, how you want to define your sustainability story in relation to everybody else, and we help you guys find resources and other grants or anything that you might need to accomplish those things and partner with you guys as much as possible just to get you wherever you want to be in the program. It is leveled out. There's bronze, silver, gold, platinum. You can just decide what y'all's goal is and how you want to get there, and we will help walk you through it.
What are some of the cities that are platinum?
We have two platinum cities, and just recently we had Gwinnett County. So we have Decatur and Norcross are our two platinum cities, and then Gwinnett County was actually our first, if you want to pass those.
Okay.
That's just a list of all of our participating cities and counties.
Okay.
We have 20 across the entire metro area, and Decatur has been, was an inaugural community with you guys and, you know, worked up the levels in the ranks every time they recertified to finally become platinum. So it's been, wow, been quite the journey, and it can be quite the journey, but we hope that the program just provides a nice framework for everybody to identify, you know, what they want to do for their citizens and their own operations and pursue that.
Okay.
Councilwoman Porter Jones.
Kelsey, could you talk about the genesis of the Green Communities, why ARC began this initiative, and why you continue that effort?
Yeah, sure. So when you say sustainability, especially 10 years ago when the program was started, it was a buzzword, and nobody really knew what it meant or what to do about it. So this program really took into account all of the different areas, which is why there's 10 categories that touch all different kinds of topics like energy or water or waste and recycling. It's trying to demystify sustainability and give actual real concrete actions that cities and counties can take to address whatever sustainability problems they have in their community or whatever sustainability issues they would like to proactively work on. So it's just trying to digest the word sustainability, define it for you guys in the vein of all of these different actions that you can take.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you for coming out in such bad weather today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Okay, Council, we have about 15 minutes, and maybe we can get through some of the agenda items for tonight. We have one presentation on the regular agenda for this evening, and that's the oath of office for 7 firefighters. Are they all here yet? I see one or two. Okay. So we have a presentation for that. No public hearings. The first agenda item is human resources. They've already been up. And the second one is human resources. Third is human resources. And those will be on the regular agenda. The next one is from the Office of the Mayor, and that's for Mayor and Council to approve the reappointment of individual appointees to the City of Fairburn Ethics Board for the re-elected council members. Councilwoman Linda Davis, Councilman Pat Palin, and Councilman James Whitmore. If you look at number four, with the reappointments, are there any questions concerning the reappointments or any reason why these reappointments should not be added to the regular agenda? I'm sorry, the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, item number four will be added to the consent agenda. Those are the appointments to the Ethics Board. Item number five is Community Development Public Works. Mr. Thompson, approval of contract award with Southeastern Engineering for traffic signal warrant.
Yes, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
The purpose of this agenda item is to approve a contract award with Southeastern Engineering for a traffic signal warrant analysis and design services. In December of 2019, Community Development Department solicited proposals for a traffic signal warrant analysis and design services to pursue the installation of a traffic signal on US 29 at the intersection of Manor and Broad Street and the police station and Sonoya Road to accommodate pedestrian movements to the other side, to the bus stop. Four bids were received, and based on the firm's qualifications and the fee proposal, Southeastern Engineering was selected as the lowest responsible respondent. Staff recommends City Council approve the mayor to award the contract award with Southeastern Engineering for a budget impact of $12,080. It will come out of the T-SPLOS infrastructure budget.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Thompson?
Nope.
Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Mr. Thompson. I wanted to ask you, in reference to the four bids that you received, which I appreciate you going out, getting the bid proposals for this. I noticed that there was a large variance of cost responding before that responded.
Right.
That's one, if you could share with me on that. And the other supplemental question to that is that one of the bids, Pond, included a coordination with the CSX Railroad, and I wanted to know why they did and all the other three did not.
I have no idea why they included the coordination with the railroad. I gave them actually the template for the actual proposal, and they provided different services. But the variance in prices just depend on what they assumed the amount of work would be to put it together. And since Southeast Engineering is familiar with this type of work, they came in as the lowest bidder. We worked with them doing the traffic analysis for the Howell Avenue Extension project, so they just finished doing a similar study for the traffic signal that's going to be at 74 and Howell Avenue. So,
okay. So, can we feel comfortable with the fact that there will not be additional charges from SEI?
I reached out to them. I told them what the other bidders were. I mean, what the other prices were, and they assured me that it would be no change orders.
Okay,
they
can
do it for that price.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Thompson?
No.
Is there any objection to placing item number 5, the award of the contract with Southeastern Engineering for traffic signal for $12,080 on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, this item goes to the consent agenda, item number 5. Item number 6, Mr. Stokes, Georgia State Minimum Standard Code adoption.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight to ask the Council, Mayor and Council, to adopt the 2018 International Building Code, the 2018 International Residential Code, the Fuel Gas Code, the Mechanical Code, the Plumbing Code, and also the Swimming Pool Code, the 2017 National Electrical Code, which we adopted back in 2016, and also the 2015 International Energy Code. These codes have been in existence, the former codes have been in existence for the last 6 to 7 years. The State of Georgia Department of Community Affairs adopted these December the 31st. They went into effect January the 1st of this year, but they're not in effect until you guys approved them.
Okay.
So I'm asking tonight for you to adopt these codes so we can move forward.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Stokes concerning the adoption of these standard codes?
No.
Yes, I have a question.
Councilwoman
yes,
Porter Jones.
Mr. Stokes, so in the documentation you provided us, there were additional codes that I think would have a significant impact.
Yes, ma'am.
The betterment of it. And are those included in the ones that you detail, or are those require separate action?
No, ma'am. We already, the codes that you're referring to, I'm assuming, is the property management code. We did adopt the 2012 some years back. I think it was 2013 when we adopted that. The existing building code, We adopted that, the 2012 version. The green building code, we did not. We did not pick that up. The disaster code, we did not do that one, nor did we do the building disaster code for the IRC. So none of those was adopted. So it was at least three that we did not adopt. But the others, we have adopted those.
Okay, and so is it, can you talk a little bit about why specifically the disaster ones weren't adopted, given that more and more disasters are happening?
That's, mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's why they made it optional. In this region that we're in, the zone that we're in, it's very likely we would use that code if we was a little bit closer to Macon, as a strong line drawn in the building code book that covers that area. It was highly recommended back that way, but not toward us. But if you'd like to see it adopted, I will bring it forward.
I'd like for us to at least consider, because that was several years ago
that
you looked at it.
Yes, ma'am.
And given a lot has changed in those years,
okay.
It is worth us reassessing whether we should or should not.
Okay.
And you know, that would be good all the time.
Sure.
Just to make sure that if we're not adopting, the reasons that we're not adopting are still relevant.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if you'll look at all three of those.
Okay, including the green?
Yes, the green, the disaster, both the disaster.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask council if they would like for this to be brought back before the council. This is a council decision. So let me ask council, if you are okay with bringing these codes back, even though Mr. Harvey has given us an explanation that it's not really necessary that we adopt these codes. So let me get some feedback on you all as to what we need to do. Is there anybody who would like to let it remain as it is, or would you like to have these other three codes brought back? Okay, Councilwoman Davis.
I looked at this as well, and just understanding the expertise with Mr. Stokes and the time and experience he's been here with the city of Fairburn, I have a tendency to lean to his discretion and to his expertise on this. So if he doesn't see a need for it, then I'm good with that.
Okay, is there anyone else?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with
that. Then we're going to adopt the ones that we have on the agenda tonight, and you don't have to look to bring the others back.
Okay,
is there any objection to placing this item on the consent agenda for tonight?
No.
Seeing none, this item number 6 goes to the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
6:52, maybe we can get through one of Mr. Jackson's. Item number 7, utility, water, and sewer, the pump station generator switch on Shaw Drive. I don't know if you all have met. Have you met Mr. Jackson yet, who's our new utility director? I don't think you've met Mr. Martin. John?
No.
Okay. John Martin is our new water superintendent over in the water department.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Jackson?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On, I said about a month ago, the Mayor and I and the City Minister sat down to go over a list of jobs, I mean, not jobs, but projects need to be performed in the city. I know Councilman Heath asked about it at the last Council meeting.
Yes.
So this is the first of many jobs that we'll be completing in the City of Fairburn. On Shaw Drive, there's a lift station, and it's need to be backed by a generator. We don't have a generator just in case if we have a power outage in that area to restart that pump, you'll have raw sewage running down the streets in that neighborhood over there. So this is definitely crucial to put a generator in that area to make sure that the city stay in compliance with the state regulatory. And that pump, you notice, is $125,000, and we're gonna have the pump put in for $74,000, with a savings to the city of $51,000.
Awesome. Wow. Let me just say that Mr. Jackson has been very instrumental in getting these costs down for us. There was another project that we were working on. He saved us over $21,000. So
awesome.
He's a great negotiator.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Jackson for item number 7?
Nope.
Okay, seeing none, any objection to placing item number 7 on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Item number 7 goes to the consent agenda. Let's try to do item number 8 before 7 o'clock.
All righty, I move quickly. Item number 8 is in St. John subdivision due to and I will have the clerk pass these out to you, the work that we will be performing in there. By staff recommend that we will be doing a pipe bursting, also installing a new manhole and also connecting new pipe across the creek in that area, because we are experiencing a lot of overflow on the neighbor's property closer to the creek. So we want to make sure that we safe up that area with a larger pipe going across, sewer pipe going across that creek, and also a pipe bursting with a new manhole as well. And it was allocated for $79,000 project. We got it down to $71,000, savings of $7,000 plus dollars for the city.
Wow.
Awesome.
That'll keep us in compliance with EPD.
Just as a disclosure, St. John's Crossing is my subdivision. I live there, and I've been living there since 2004. Just want to disclose that to the audience and to my council members.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions concerning the sewer replacement in St. John's Crossing?
I have one.
Councilwoman Portis Jones?
If this is the same house, I did inspect that property, Mayor, you and I did several years ago. There was also a problem with beavers.
That's a different house.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
We expected one on Crosswinds Walk. This is a winding crossing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is there any objections to placing this item on the consent agenda?
Nope.
Seeing none, item number 8 goes to the consent agenda. Thank you so much, and we're going to stop right there because we're going to be ready for the regular agenda in about 3 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. We're going to adjourn for the next 3 minutes, and we'll adjourn back at 7 o'clock. Good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome to the regular meeting of the Fairburn City Council. Today is Monday, February the 10th, 2020. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Talley.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Would you please stand for the invocation by Pastor Darius Cotto of First Baptist Church, Fairburn, and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hi, how are you?
Good evening,
you?
Council. Hi, Mayor. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege that you give us to come together as the city of Fairburn, Lord. Thank you for everything that's going on. Thank you for the future of Fairburn, Lord. Thank you for the council. Thank you for Mayor Hurst. Lord, thank you for their leadership. We just pray, Lord, that you give them wisdom, Lord, to move us forward together. Lord, and we just ask for protection for each one of them. Thank you for each resident that are here tonight, that they care for the city of Fairburn. Thank you the way that you're moving. We just pray, Lord, for each of our schools, for protections, Lord, for our teachers, for our students. Lord, thank you for our fire chief. Thank you for our police chief, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that as a city, that every time we hear a siren, Lord, it doesn't matter what time of the evening, the day, that we can just stop and just pray, Lord, that they can make it back home safely, Lord. We just pray that everything that's, that it could be shared tonight may honor your glory, and that we can just be a better city the way that you have already planned for. We ask for this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have seven firefighters that's going to be sworn in tonight. And I'm going to come down. Chief, would you come up, please?
Mayor and Council, good evening.
Good evening.
Citizens. Today, the mayor's going to swear in seven new additions to the Fairburn family. Yay. So I'm going to ask the guys to come up. Guys, don't be shy. Come on. You all, we have one that I guess he couldn't wait. He's out on a fire call right now.
Oh, wow.
And that's Greg Pullum.
Would you all move around this way for me? Face the audience.
Congratulations.
Okay, because there are six of you all tonight, I'm not going to do them individually. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start the oath, and when I say aye, you need to repeat your names, and then I'll start the oath, and you can follow the oath with me, okay? All right. Okay. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Georgia. And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the government established in the United States and in this state under the authority of the people. I do further solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully impartially and justly perform all the duties of a firefighter for the city of Fairburn according to the best of my ability. I also solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully and honorably bear allegiance to the city of Fairburn. I will, to the best of my ability, protect the safety and lives of the citizens whose care has been entrusted to me. So help me God. Welcome aboard. And so, now I would like to introduce each one of you all individually so that people will know exactly your names. Malik Green. Chad Lawson. Cody Martin, Jayen Petway, Davina Pinckney, and Carrie Williams. As the mayor of this great city of Fairburn, I would like to personally say that I am so happy to see six of you all, or really seven, come to the city. We are so happy to have you here. If there's anything that I can do or the six members of council, please feel free to call upon us. Again, welcome to the city of Fairburn and welcome to our family. Thank you so much.
Guys, if you all would ease out, all right. Mayor, can I say something?
Yes.
I can't believe how quiet these guys are. I can't get them to be quiet over at that fire station. It's amazing. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Thanks for the support.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, as they make their way out, I think they're headed over to the annex for a reception. Maybe we can try to get out of here a little and go over and get some cake and chicken, too. Okay, public comments. How many do we have? Okay, would you call the speaker, please?
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And good evening, everyone else here. I was hoping the rest of them would stay, but maybe I could talk to them later. My name is Dr. Sandra Wright. I am a candidate for Fulton County Board of Education District 4. Your wonderful city is in that district, and I just wanted to let you know to get to know my name, Dr. Sandra Wright, Fulton County Board of Education District 4. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is adoption of the council agenda for tonight. We have five items on the agenda that we have thus approved for the consent agenda. And those items are item number 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. The first item on the consent agenda is item number 4, the reappointment of individual appointees to the City of Fairbanks Ethics Board. Number 5, the contract award with Southeastern Engineering for traffic signal. And number 6, the Georgia State Minimum Code adoption. Number 7, the pump station generator and automatic transfer switch, and number 8, the St. John's Crossing sewer replacement award. May I have a motion for these consenting items, please?
So move.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and second by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Those items are approved, 6-0. The regular agenda items will be item number 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. You have one? I'm sorry, and 1 and 2 and 3. I'm sorry. So the regular agenda would be item number 1, number 2, number 3, number 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion on the floor to approve these for the regular agenda?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilman Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Those items carried, 6-0. Let's have the adoption of the City Council minutes for January 27th, 2020. Council members, you have been provided those minutes for the January 27th meeting. Do you have any corrections or additions? Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries, 6-0. There are no public hearings tonight. The first item on the regular agenda is from Human Resources, our group health insurance with United Healthcare. Carol, you want to come up, please? You, Dan, and Jack, you can sit there if you want to. Okay.
I'll come up.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the first three items are going to be yours. The health insurance, the dental insurance, and the deductible reimbursement.
Correct. And item number one, we are asking for mayor and council to approve the alternate United Healthcare Plan BN-91 with RXUG, as discussed in the workshop. With this change, the city would stand to reduce the renewal increase by over $160,000 for the upcoming plan year compared to renewing this plan as is. The new plan would result in several benefit changes, as we discussed, which includes reducing the in-network out-of-pocket maximum from $6,000 to $5,000, increasing the coinsurance from 0% after the deductible to 20%, removing the emergency room copay, and making emergency room visits subject to the deductible and coinsurance. Reducing the inpatient per occurrence deductible at network hospitals from $1,000 to $500, and reducing the out-of-pocket benefits, out-of-network benefits.
Okay.
Are there any questions with regard to our discussions on these changes?
Are there any questions? Okay, is there a motion on the floor to approve our group health insurance with United Healthcare? Motion made by Councilman Palin. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, one opposing. That motion carries 5 with 1 opposing. It's approved. The next item?
Sure. We're asking Mayor and Council to approve renewing the dental and vision coverage for United Healthcare as is for the city's 20 to 21 plan year, the dental and vision insurance offering, and to continue with Admin America as the flexible spending account administrator, increasing the IRS limit, increasing the maximum amount that the flexible spending account is available for based on the IRS, new IRS limit. Are there any questions regarding our request for approval?
Are there any questions for Ms. Karen? Councilwoman Portis-Jones?
Thank you. So could you talk about the flexible spending? You didn't bring that up during the workshop.
Sure.
I failed to ask, so you'll explain that so that we're clear about
absolutely
what's happening there.
Right. The flexible spending account includes medical reimbursements for unreimbursed medical expenses, and the dependent care includes dependent care unreimbursed medical expenses. The IRS allows for a certain amount each year to be payroll deducted without paying taxes for the employees and their families' use. And Dan, what is the maximum for the next year?
Yeah, so for 2019, the maximum was $2,700. For the upcoming plan year, it's been increased by the IRS to $2,750.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Is there a motion on the floor to approve the group dental vision insurance and the FSA contracts?
So move.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Palin. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you so much. The next one?
For mayor and council to approve 100% reimbursement of the in-network deductible expense incurred for medical claims and 0% for out-of-pocket, out-of-network medical claims under the health reimbursement program.
Okay, are there any questions concerning the deductible reimbursement? Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Mayor, I'm sorry, I will call you Mayor Pro Tem. Councilwoman Davis, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
And I'll look to talk to you all this week.
Absolutely.
Thank you again. Be safe going home. The next item on the agenda is item number 9, which is utility. Mr. Stephen Jackson, task order number 134B with integrated science and engineering for 2021, phase one compliance activities.
Good evening again, Mayor and Mayor and Council. We're asking that the Council approve task order 134B with integrated science and engineering incorporated for 2020 and 2021 is a renewal agreement that will extend service on as need basis for task orders associated with civil engineering and water and wastewater and water resource engineering.
So the budget impact of this task order will be $30,000, and the expenditures, if we incur any, will be deducted from the water and sewer account.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Jackson?
No.
Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Next item.
Madam Mayor and Council, we're asking for the approval of this project on Waterboy. This project between Waterboy and Mary Earn Drive has significantly flooded that area out for quite some time now. So we're asking for Crawford Grading and pipeline to come in, and I just passed out a handout where you can see in blue is the pipe connecting to an 18-inch storm drain. As of now, there is no pipe there. And also we have berms in red that would divert the water into the inlets that we will be installing. This project was allocated for $300,000, and we, a lot of talking and negotiation, we got it down to $42,000 with a reputable construction agency here in the city of Fairburn. They've been working in the city of Fairburn quite some time now.
Yeah. Wow. Let me just make a note and tell council that, and I'm sure Ms. Porter-Jones probably remembers this, and also Mr. Whitmore, this house is on Waterboy, around 550 Waterboy, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
We still going to have to pay a claim on that house because that water ran down into her basement and has totally destroyed her basement with mildew and so forth. But that's a claim that we're going to have to do later. She has been very patient for years. This goes back at least 15, 17 years, since I've been in the city. And she has never been a complainer. Every time it floods, she cleans her basement and she keeps it moving. So with the GeoBond proceeds that we had, we can use it to repair a lot of the infrastructure, and that's what we're going to do. We did get a quote of $300,000. We thought it was very exorbitant. And so Mr. Jackson went to work. And so we have thus far gotten the easements.
Yes.
We've gotten all of the easements signed. So the folks didn't have any problem signing the easements. They wanted the work done. And so we're ready to start the work. And so are there any questions?
Nope. Let's get it done.
Is there a motion on the floor to approve item number 10, the storm drain pipeline?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilman Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Your next item is to approve the private decentralized wastewater system ordinance.
At this time, I'd like to have Hope come up to briefly talk a little bit more. I know the city attorney has vetted the ordinances that you will be hearing tonight.
Ms. Larsky, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time this evening. I've come to present the first ordinance. It is a requirement of the Metropolitan North Georgia Water Planning District Water Resource Management Plan. I know that's a lot of words. This is the plan, if you ever would like to read it. It is online on their website. And one item in this plan is our item number 11, the private decentralized wastewater system ordinance. It's basically saying if someone wants to put in a private decentralized wastewater system instead of just tapping into the sewer, they have to follow all of Fulton County's ordinances and regulations and be approved by the Fulton County Health Department.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Randy, I know you've seen this ordinance and you gave us your okay on it.
Yes, ma'am, I drafted this ordinance and the next one.
Okay, great. All right.
The materials are provided through
Ms. Larsky. Okay. Are there any questions?
No.
Councilman Pallon?
If I have to read it, do I have to memorize it?
No, sir.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments concerning this ordinance?
No.
Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next ordinance is the new conveyor car wash recycle water systems ordinance. And we have a car wash. Okay, Ms. Larsky.
Awesome. This is in the interest of trying to save water in the metro Atlanta area because our growing population and dwindling supply, and it requires that 50% of the wash water in a car wash that is a conveyor-based system have a recycling use to capture 50% of the water, recycle it for additional use, so it's not just going straight into a sewage system or being mm-hmm. discharged.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions?
Nope.
No?
Just one.
Yes.
So do you have any idea if the new car wash that we have on 74, do they meet this requirement?
I do not know if they have a system, however.
We will find out more.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
They do.
Excellent.
Thank
you, sir.
All right.
Because this does apply to anything that was permitted or constructed after January of 2011. So okay. Even though
2011.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Nope.
Seeing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move.
Motion made by Councilman Heath and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Your next item.
Item number 13, continuing on with the water resource management plan. The district has a toilet rebate program that is open to citizens every year. And for the city of Fairburn to participate in that program, it costs $2,500 a year. And Mr. Jackson is recommending that the city continue to participate in that program. And it would be $2,500 expense out of the budget.
And our city attorney had took a look at the contract to renew it, so he definitely is on board.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good program.
Are there any questions?
Nope.
Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? This motion carries 6-0.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, very good. And Ms. Larsky, thank you so much for coming out and meeting with me and explaining these different ordinances a couple of weeks ago. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, council comments. We'll start with Councilman Whitmore.
No comments, Mayor.
No comment. Okay. Councilman Heath?
No comment.
Okay. Councilwoman Davis?
No comments.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood? Councilman Palin?
I'll go back to the no comment.
Okay. Councilwoman Portis Jones?
No comment.
And I have no comments tonight. Is there a motion on the floor to convene into executive session to discuss a real estate matter?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilwoman Davis. We're going to convene now into executive session. Thanks, everyone, and safe driving home.
I, Gregory Fuller.
I, Gregory Fuller.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the State of Georgia.
Of the State of Georgia.
And that I will bear.
And that I will bear.
True faith.
True faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the government.
And to the government.
Established.
Established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority.
Under the authority.
Of the people.
Of the people.
I do further.
I do further.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will faithfully.
That I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all the duties.
Perform all the duties.
Of a firefighter.
Of a firefighter.
For the City of Fairburn.
The City of Fairburn.
According.
According.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
I also.
I also.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will faithfully.
That I will faithfully.
And honorably.
And honorably.
Bear allegiance.
Bear allegiance.
To the City of Fairburn.
To the City of Fairburn.
I will.
I will.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Protect.
Protect.
The safety and lives.
Safety and lives.
Of the citizens.
Of the citizens.
Whose care.
Whose care.
Has been entrusted.
Has been entrusted.
To me.
To me.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Welcome aboard.